College of Judaism.
And welcome.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to lecture number 6 in advanced meditation. Tonight we're going to talk about the Tetragrammaton, the Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, the four-lettered word of God. Now, before we even begin the lecture tonight, I want you to write down what your Hebrew name is. Then next week I'll give you each a personal verse to meditate on. So you put it down so that I can pick it out what the particular verse is that's most appropriate to you, and if you don't have a Hebrew name, then just put down the name you're presently using. And last letter, yeah.
So for me, it would be a Tet and a Lamed.
A Tet and a Lamed. And your name is?
Franklin.
Franklin. So it would be an F and a Nun. Yeah. Okay. And you're Teresa, so you would be Tet and an Aleph. And you are Leanne. You'd be a Lamed and a Nun. Whatever that means. You'll be Aleph Aleph.
Actually, it means spiritual wealth.
It has nothing to do with what it means. I'm just telling you what.
Auto Hutchins means well-being in the spirit, in old German.
Today we're going to talk about connecting to the Tetragrammaton, to the four-lettered word of God. And also we're going to be dealing with something I believe all of us desire, and that is wisdom. What is wisdom? Who is a wise person? One knows, one specifically who knows how to be quiet. That's one. Now, what is wisdom and who is a wise person? And every time we think about who is wise, each of us has a different idea of what a wise person is. And Kabbalah deals with wisdom, and it gives us very specific information as to what is wisdom and how we can receive it. And of course, we also know that one of the Sfirot is called Chochmah, right? It's Keter Chochmah, and Chochmah means wisdom. Last week we talked about the Shema Yisrael prayer, the Hero Israel prayer, and I hope you keep your letters or the papers together. It deals with, as I said then, with the 248 parts of the body. But we did not really discuss the concept of what to do if you have a pain in your arm. Now that means that if a person has a pain in his arm, does he focus on his ligaments or on the blood or on what? He doesn't focus on the internal organs, but rather on the arm and where he feels the pain. He's just thinking about his arm, but not the total picture. In other words, what do we do in life when we have a general problem? Let's say we feel weak generally. It's nothing specific that's bothering us. We just don't feel well. We feel kind of weak. It's not just that we're trying to activate energy to our body, but we do have a special link. And another question that we'll be able to answer today. Up until now, we've been closing our eyes during the meditation. Whenever we did a meditation, told you to close your eyes. We said that in every action in life, we have to inject a sort of restriction, a sort of, in order to receive something, you've got to receive it and then push it back. So in order to receive this energy, what actually happens to the human body? How do we activate restriction through the meditation to our physical body? And why do we have so many different parts to our body? Why do we have so many different organs? You know, if I were the engineer, I'd had one organ taking care of the whole thing. What do we need all these different parts for? Why do we have so many internal parts? You ever think about that? What is it that we can benefit? Why should we, you know, why do we benefit from this? But that's something that we can benefit from and we should, and what we should avoid. You know, can you just picture? You know, one part, that's all, you know. The next stage of the meditation is connected to the strongest cable that we can use. It's a tool into which we connect, and that is this paper that I gave in front of you is the Tetragrammaton. That's the four-lettered word of God. We know that the Tetragrammaton is our channel to connect to energy in general. All the light that we have in life is related to the Tetragrammaton. Every desire we have in life, the only way we can fulfill or fill ourselves with the light is based on the structure of the Yud, K, Vav, and K. Those are the four letters from left to write. The first letter is called the Yud, Y-O-D. The second letter is called the Hey, H-A-Y. The third letter is called the Vav, V-O-V. And the fourth letter is called a Hey again, as you notice. Same letter. And it's four letters. And that's why it's called Tetragrammaton, the four-lettered name of God. It is the highest form of connection. We know that the Tetragrammaton is our channel to connect to energy in general. That all the light that we have in life is related to the Tetragrammaton. That every desire that we have in life, the only way we can fill ourselves with the light is based upon the structure of those four letters. And this means that the only way to activate energy from the endless world to this world of action is by the Yud, He, and the Vav, and the He. This means, whenever we deal with a lack in ourselves, a problem, a deficiency, any kind of pain, the way we can bring energy to the problem area is by using the Tetragrammaton. You all have your sheets with the Tetragrammaton on it, right? Every week we discuss a new frame. And when we discussed the Shema Yisrael, the Hero Israel prayer last week, we said that we never know when we have a lack. We never actually know where it is that we lack the energy. And therefore the purpose of the Shema Yisrael prayer last week was to bring the totality of the light into empty spaces, into the vacuums of which we are not even aware of. What happens now? The Tetragrammaton is used to fill the areas of lack of which we are aware. This means that if we have a specific pain, if we have a specific relationship problem, we will use the Tetragrammaton to inject light into that problem. Because what happens normally? Normally we operate on the level of the Tetragrammaton, but we're not aware of it. Because the Tetragrammaton represents a form of a desire. It is this dealing from potential into actual. I've got the thought to remove my glasses. The process of removing my glasses begins, and then I remove it, and now it is removed. It's a three-pronged process. I get the thought, I do it, and then it's done. All of our actions are based on the Tetragrammaton. The only thing is that we lack the awareness. So what we're going to do with the meditation is to add this consciousness to bring that energy into our lives. So we're going to stop for a moment and concentrate on our ability to fill the lacks, and with this consciousness, we'll be able to accomplish the task quicker. The moment we have the knowledge, it will activate the energy quicker into the lack where the lack happens to be. So whenever or wherever, whenever we have a problem on life, in life we focus. If you have a major financial problem and at the end, and the end is imminent, if you have a headache, the headache is now a minor problem. Or what do you focus on immediately? On the stock market? If you focus on the stock market, you don't even have a headache because the stock market is so down the creek these days. The headache you don't even feel anymore. All you feel is the loss of financial wherewithal. However, at another time, it might be that the headache is primary. And that means that whenever we deal with a lack, whenever we deal with a problem, it always has to do with focus. The one thing that the Zohar teaches us is to ask for more. Remember, ask for more. So what in this is the sense to ask for more? What's its essence? Just to be crazy? You want more headache? It's because the moment you ask for more, you stop focusing. You're able to activate energy in general, and for that reason, the headache will go away. I know it sounds crazy, but try it. Because instead of focusing on the problem and concentrating on the lack, you're going to be able to activate and generate more light into this world. So whenever we deal with the Tetragrammaton, we've got to realize that we're no longer dealing with the ligaments, we're not dealing with the veins, but we're dealing with the total picture. And in this way, it will be a stronger force to activate energy. The Shema Yisrael, that prayer that we learned last week, will be a very focused on intensive energy. When we deal with the Tetragrammaton, we achieve the ability to create the framework. Now, if you see this in terms of stages, you will begin with Shema Yisrael from last week. You do it at the minute, and then you'll go to the Tetragrammaton. You'll start with the Shema Yisrael prayer. Remember how we did it last week, how we showed you to do it last week. And then we go to the Tetragrammaton. And of course, you could ask, why not the opposite way first? Why not start with the name of God first? Answer, first you have to build the frame. First, you have to decide where you desire to build the building. And then you go into details. Why with meditation we are going in the opposite direction? Because the one basic thing that Kabbalah teaches us is that that which creates the picture is the details. What creates the picture? The details. And the one thing that reaction does in our daily lives is to separate ourselves from the totality. The moment you react, you're separating yourself from the totality of the picture. And boy, do we love to react. That guy cuts us off on the highway, boy, we have lots of names that we call him. We question his parentage. We have lots of names that we call him. But we must separate ourselves from the totality in order to make our correction. If we in our daily lives would constantly carry the consciousness of the endless light, that paradisical, whatever you want to, aura, if we could constantly carry the consciousness that I came in here into this world to serve the main purpose of creation, which is Adonai Echad Ushmo Echad. You know what that means? The Lord is one and his name one. The vessel and the light are one. When you say the Lord, you're talking about the light. When you say the name is the vessel. The light and the vessel are one. If we can create a consciousness of the light and the vessel being one, then what would happen? There would be no more free choice. So the only thing we have to do is to make the effort to create the ability to remember this in our daily life. And that's our entire connection. It's our entire correction. This means that with the details, we're able to accomplish our correction and return to the endless. And by the way, the Sefer Yetzirah, the oldest book on Kabbalah, actually tells us that each and every organ of the body has a specific letter. Every single organ has a specific energy that will activate that force. But the one thing that we do understand is that the Tetragrammaton is not focusing, but rather it is dealing with a major lack. It is dealing with a framework. It is dealing with the general form of a desire to receive, which influences everything else. The reason why we go to it second and not first is because if we would really like to be able to draw energy to the totality, we gotta first build our desire. If you don't have a desire, nothing is coming. You know, if your vessel is full, the light is not going to fill it with anything. You have no desire. It's only when you share from your desire, from your vessel, that there is a space in that vessel that can be filled. So you have a desire to fill it, the light will come and fill it. Now, building our desire goes through our focusing. Now you will see that the Tetragrammaton is actually built, if you look at it from left to right, from a yud all the way to hey. Right?
From right to left.
From right to left, right. From the yud all the way to hey. So what is the structure? You know the structure of the sfirot. What's the first sfira? Keter. Right? That's the first sfira, crown. That's it. Right?
Right.
The purest level. And are you bossed? And then we allow it to emanate and we bring the light to Malchut, to the vessel. You got it there? That's right. So you go from the top all the way to the bottom, right? So the world of Yud is Keter Chochma in Bina. The world of Hay, first Hay, is... I'm sorry. The world of Yud is Keter. The world of Hay is Chochma in Bina. The world of Vav is Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, and Hod, and Yesod, Zihanpin. And the last Hay is Malchut, this kingdom, our world. So when that world of Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, Yud, Hay, and above, and a Hay, tells us and shows us that we're bringing the light all the way down from the top to where we are. The top is the outer space connection. The top is the spiritual world. The Malchut area, that last circle on the bottom there, that's where we are. And we're bringing the light all the way from Keter down to us. All the way from the light to the vessel. And if you look at your body, it's built in the same manner. It starts with the head. You got a picture there? Yes, good man. It starts with the head. You can function without many organs. You can't function without the head, unless your name is Teresa. Yeah, there you can function very well because she's blonde. Because the head represents the seed level. This represents Keter. And you can't sue me either, because I was joking. Okay, now, therefore, the tetragrammaton operates in the same manner. You begin with the Yud, which represents Keter, and Chochmah, the potential level, and you draw it all the way down, stage by stage, all the way down to Malchut. But in order to activate this force into our bodies, you got to allow the same procedure. You can't do something and then think about it. I know many people act that way. They do it and then they think about it, you know. No, that's not the way to do it. But then you notice the results are not so beneficial for those people who act and don't think. Just ask our president. Now, it is better if you first think about an action and then do it. But why do we do things this way? Why don't we just think things out before we do the action? That's the question that we should ask ourselves. It's not, okay, look how foolish I am. Or, oh, look what I did. Ask yourself, why were you a fool? Why could I not see the results of my actions? And the reason is that it has to do with the manner in which you bring energy into your lives. It has to do with the fact that we decide to do things not in the same manner in which the light can be drawn into this world. This means that in order for the light to be activated into our lives, we've got to go from potential to actual. We cannot do an action and then make it become a cause. That's impossible. It's already an effect. And when we do this, everything is upside down, and what we do turns out against us every time. You've got to go stage by stage. And the moment we forget about the level of potential, the level of Ze'ir Anpin, which is Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, which is the planning stage, what happens? Chaos. That's when we have our problems in life. Whenever we try to reverse the process and place Malchut ahead of Keter, it will turn out to be the opposite of bringing energy into our life. Okay? That makes sense if you saw the diagram and you see what we're talking about. It makes sense. And after you study Kabbalah and after you understand it and try to put it into your daily lives, what's the one problem you have? The one problem is, when do we do the restriction? That's the only problem we have. When to do the restriction. Not only to know when to restrict, but also to have the courage and strength to do it. This means that you already realize that you're performing an incorrect action. And you already know that you're spending your life with the wrong person. Then the question is, from where am I going to get the energy, the force, and the power to restrict? This doesn't apply to anyone sitting here. That's the only problem we have in life. And if you know that you have to restrict, the question is, how do you restrict, and how much do you restrict? See, the shockers this year were very restrictions, right? They gave every ball game away, right? Because they restricted at the wrong time. Now, I don't have the energy to do it. I don't have the power. power to do it. The purpose of the Tetragrammaton and the focusing of the Tetragrammaton is to allow us to tap into the basic nature of how energy flows into this world so that it will assist us, it will increase the flow of energy in order for us to be able to do the meditation. This means it doesn't only activate energy for those specific acts that we have to do, it also helps us to operate on a level so that we might have the energy and the capability to use restriction and to know where to use it. Yes? Okay? So what do we do with the Tetragrammaton? The one thing we should understand by the time when we get to the Tetragrammaton is that we've already reached the high point in the meditation. Therefore, it's a very easy stage, and the process is very similar to the process we used before. Okay, you look at the Yud. You see the Yud? Take a good look at the Yud. That's the first letter of the Tetragrammaton. Going from the top of our head and emanating white light into our body. But it's not only that we see the Yud coming in from the top of our head, we must also build it into ourselves. So we'd like to build the Yud to be our vessel to draw down the light. And therefore this thought should always go through our mind. We should be thinking only about bringing down the Yud. Build it into yourself. Draw the Yud into yourself. Feel the Yud. Listen to it. Smell it. Do whatever is required for you to do to build this Yud and make it part of your being. Inject your vessel into it. And then you see the Yud going through your body. And then you see it reflect back. And once you see it go through your entire body and reflecting back, go to the Hey. And do the same thing. And then go to the Vav. And then go to the Hey. And do the same thing with each one of these letters. And after we finish each and every letter, then go to the Tetragrammaton as a whole unit. And we see the Yud K, Vav K coming from the top of our heads, the whole thing spinning around and entering into each and every organ of our body from the top up the bottom, and then it's being pushed back to the source, which is back up. Very important that at every stage of the meditation, we inject all the knowledge that we have. Because the more knowledge we have, the more consciousness will be added, and then the emphasis will be stronger. If we just attempt to do this as an exercise that has to be done, and in doing so fulfill our obligation by just going through our motions, then it would be better if we didn't begin the exercise in the first place. Go play golf. You'll get better results. And that's why Rabbi Isaac Luria stated that in every stage of the meditation in which you feel that you are no longer receiving any energy from it, if you feel you no longer are benefiting from it, then just drop it. Stop it. Don't do any further meditation. Stop at that point. Just lean back, relax, leave it, come back to the meditation at another time when you're ready. Now, after we meditate on the Tetragrammaton as a unit, then we look at it on three different dimensions. Right, left, and central. Why? Yeah, why?
Well, I mean, balance. I mean,
balance? What does right, left, and center create? A circuit of energy. So we want to now do this, create a circuit of energy. We now go back to the question we asked before. What is wisdom? Who and what is a smart person? Obviously, the answer to this question has to do with the next stage in the meditation. It's amazing to see that we learned a statement, Chacham Einav Berosho. A wise person has his eyes in his head. What does that mean? You mean a dumb person doesn't have his eyes in his head? What does it mean, a wise person? Even a stupid person's eyes are in his head. But let's remember, the head is a connection to Keter. It's a connection to the potential level. And therefore, when we learn that a wise person's eyes are in the head, in his head, it's an indication that if we desire to produce any results in our lives, in order for us to see right, it is a if it's a business deal, if it's a marriage, if it's a relationship, or even if it's to make a purchase, in order for us to see what really is and what reality is, you got to take care of first of the potential level. That means that if a person is attempting to change his actions in the physical realm without changing it on the potential level, it's never going to happen. Wisdom means that one is capable of tapping into the potentiality of the result, into the potential level, and by fixing today, he will change tomorrow. That's a Kabbalistic principle. And this means that if you're busy today worrying about tomorrow, if you are worrying today only about my future, what my future will look like, what are you doing? You're missing the opportunity to plant a seed. And therefore we should understand that wisdom has nothing to do with how much you know. It has nothing to do with how much knowledge you have accumulated. It has nothing to do with how many degrees you have hanging on the wall. And it's not even what you do with the information that you have. But rather, wisdom is the ability to create the future by planting a seed today. Wisdom is the ability to realize that actions are only determined on the thought level. A wise person means is a person who is able to elevate and to realize the seed level of all concepts. Got it? It's not enough that you know the cosmic laws. It's not sufficient to know that if you put a seed in the ground that a tree is going to grow out of it. That's not enough. What really counts is taking these principles and applying it to every single aspect of your life. The Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria, tells us that there is a verse that is connected to this stage of the meditation which states, Einecha lenochach yabitu, your eyes should be looking at the present. And you know, this is a contradictory, in a sense, to what we have just said. But the word nochach in Hebrew numerologically adds up to 78. And 78 is 3 times 26. And what is 26? The tetragrammaton is 26. It's 10, 5, 6, 5. Those are the letters. 3 times the tetragrammaton. This is the code to this stage of the meditation. You know why? Because what we want to accomplish by looking at the tetragrammaton 3 times is the ability to tap into the potential level. It's the ability to plant a seed today. We will then be capable of seeing the cause rather than only the effect. Because once we see the effect, what can we do? Nothing. Nothing. Once the tree is planted, it's an apple tree. You can't make it into a pear tree. When can you make an apple tree into a pear tree? When you change the seed. You plant a pear seed, you've got a pear tree. Sometimes even a partridge there. And so, the purpose of the meditation is to lead us into a place where the illusionary reality will no longer fool us. And then we have the power and not only the intelligence to know what creates the difference in reality is the cause level, the potential level, and actually being able to tap it into our lives. To automatically ask why whenever anything actually happens to us. Not why did it happen to us, but what was its cause? How can I change the potential? I'd like to change tomorrow. You know that the only way to change tomorrow is to focus on today. Then you'll be focusing on the seed level. And therefore what we see here in the tetragrammaton is 3 levels. Right, left, and central. Picture the tetragrammaton on the wall. Picture those 4 letters on the wall. And again, you don't say it, you just think it. Just visualize the tetragrammaton appearing. And what we would like to tap into is that power to tap into the seed level in order to control all the effects in our lives. Now, before we asked why do we do all these meditations with our eyes closed, remember? However, I'd like you to know that there are people who have meditated for many, many years who have come to the point where it's easier for them to meditate with their eyes open. You see, there are many times in life when you meditate, and perhaps you're not even aware of it. Sometimes you just sit and stare at things. You stare at something. You must do that all the time, right? And you might be sitting in a restaurant and just staring at some people. And at times it becomes embarrassing. You know, I do that from time to time because I love to watch. I stare and start watching. But what happens at that moment? At that moment in time, we're not there any longer. We're somewhere else. We don't hear what others are saying. Did that ever happen to you? You talk, yeah. Yes, honey. What are you talking about? Nobody's listening. And we don't see what's going on around us. We're oblivious to what's happening around us. And if someone tries to distract us, it will be difficult. How long does that last? At the most, 15 seconds. I can tell you, it happens to people when they're driving their car. Sometimes you start thinking about something when you're driving and you say, how did I get home? That was without a drink. Sometimes it happens with a drink. That's a different kind of meditation that I don't suggest that you indulge in when you're driving. Or is that not meditation? That's something other kind of meditation. Inebriation, that is called. Yes, okay. And so the reason why we close our eyes in our meditation is to be able to depart from the physical realm. We're trying to remove ourselves from the realm which destroys the unity. Because whenever we are busy with the physical world, whatever eyes connect to it, connect us to the physical world, represents fragmentation, because this is a world of fragmentation. This is a world of alienation. This is a world of anomie. And when we meditate, we want to leave the fragmented realm, and we want to tap into unity. And the moment we close our eyes, we stop focusing. There's no way any longer to actually have the brain focus on the details around us. We no longer see the fragmentation. But now we're able to tap into the totality, which is the endless source of light. And so you'll notice that whenever you reach a high level of meditation, at times you'll no longer care whether your eyes are open or closed. You'll be able to make the same connection. The only thing is that it's much easier doing it with your eyes closed. It's much easier to not focus on that which is the illusionary world, and which tries to distract us and distort the reality and distort us with its fragmentation and separation. So where there is separation and fragmentation, there can be no true meditation. Yes, you had a question.
How does one avoid becoming lost in fragmentation?
In what?
How does one avoid becoming lost in this? How does one avoid becoming lost in fragmentation?
In the what?
Becoming lost in
the tetragrammaton.
Right. That's
what okay.
How does one avoid becoming lost so that this becomes the reality and it's actually a method to focus on reality? How does one avoid this?
These days, well, you've got to really get very deep to worry about that. But there is a process that we go through, and at the end, we usually count backwards to one. You see, and say, "You're now out of it." Okay. You just tell yourself to leave. It's like anything else. When you're meditating and extraneous matter comes into your brain, you don't try to fight it. You just say, you can leave now. It's not part of my program. You're not part of my program. But if you try to stop thinking about something that you shouldn't be thinking about, you keep thinking about it. So what you say is, you say, goodbye. You are not welcome here.
Well, it just seems to me that
yeah, one can always get lost. But most people are lost in this reality, which is an illusion. So wouldn't you rather get lost in the reality rather than in the illusion? This is an illusion. You're living in an illusionary world. You think this is all important. It's not important. The real reality... The real reality is the spiritual world. So if you get lost in the spiritual world, you'll find your way back. The body will fight its way back because it doesn't like being in the real world. Tonight I'd like to focus on something which actually repeats itself in every stage, and that is seeing the letters and bringing the letters into our body and activating the energy into ourselves. How many people here remember the structure of the Tetragrammaton? You've been looking at it now all night. So can you remember that without looking at it, kind of? How many people remember the Hebrew letters of the Tetragrammaton, right? How many people here remember the Hebrew letters of this month? Aha! That you don't know. The Hebrew letters of this month are a Kuf and a Gimel. We gave it to you before. A Kuf and a Gimel. It's not from... I didn't give them to you there. Yeah. I didn't give them to you there. That's Chaf and Reish. That's it. Voila. That's it. That's the Kuf and the Gimel. Okay. So now you've got both of these things. So these are the letters of the month, the Kuf and the Gimel. Is there anyone here that believes that he will not be able to remember it? That's good. Do you think you'll be able to visualize these letters in the next 15 minutes? Everyone here can do it. Can you all visualize the shape of these letters? Huh? Yes? Okay. How many people have the Anabekoach prayer with them that you should have? The Anabekoach. That's this one. It's this one here.
That was my next choice.
Got it? Yes. Okay. That's what I want. You need all those three things. So we focus on the correct line, remember, and also on the day of the week, and we will focus on the energy of sharing and the ability to receive for the sake of sharing, and the sentence that connects us to the energy of the month will be used as a tool to tap into the positivity of the month and eliminate the negative attributes of the month. So that's what we're going to try to do. Okay? Let's relax. And which line is... It's the second line, isn't it?
Third line?
Third one, Tuesday.
No, for Tuesday is this, but we're talking about the month. This line, right? Second line. Kabel,
you know what I'm talking about. Okay. Kabel. Let's relax. Let's uncross our legs. Uncross your arms. It has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with keeping an uninterrupted flow of energy. And we decide that all the noise and all the distractions are not in the realm of that world in which we now want to tap into. I want you to focus on the white part of this table, because I don't have a flame going here. Because usually I have a candle, I don't have it. So try the white part of this table. Close your eyes slowly, separating from the 1% level of the physical realm. And we're now going to use a combination of letters and words that was established by Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakaneh to activate positive energy into our body, into our physical being, with a spiritual consciousness, and into the whole world. And you remember that the Anabekoach prayer is built upon 7 sentences, all the way from Chesed to Malchut, which controls the 7 planets. And in each sentence, there are 6 words that connect us to the energy of the outer space connection, the Zeir Anpin. And we say the first line together, Ana Bekoach Gedulat Yimincha Tatir Srura. And now we're going to stop on the second line, Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora. The Remember, this energy is chesed. It's right column energy. Left column energy. And this is the sentence which we use as a vehicle to control the planet Jupiter, the letters of this month, which were actually the cause of this month, are Kuf and Gimel. I want you to see them in your eyes. It's the Kuf, which represents Pisces, and the Gimel, which represents Jupiter. We can see right above our head, coming from the right side, a ball of white light. And we can actually feel the white light. And we can see it if we wish. And as we see this ball focusing on the white, focus on the Hebrew letter Kuf, that half circle with the line going down, that Kuf, focus on it coming out, entering through the top of your heads, and emanating and shining white light from the top of your heads all the way through your bodies. You can see the Hebrew letter Kuf going through your head, through your brain, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your teeth, your mouth, going through the neck, going through all the internal organs, going through your chest, through the heart, circling the heart outside, entering and emanating white light, going through the left, left hand, through the fingers. You can see it in each and every finger, the light of the Kuf, the right shoulder, the left shoulder, all the way down the other side. And as the letters go through our body, it leaves its light throughout all the parts of our bodies. They're now illuminated, and it continues to descend through the rest of the body until our body is totally engulfed with this white light. Now you can feel the Hebrew letter Kuf is controlling your body to become part of it. It becomes part of us. And we can already see that as the Hebrew letter Kuf ascends, our right leg is taking all the white light with it. We want to take this Hebrew letter Kuf and return it back to the white ball. Back to that white light above our heads entering from our right side. And as the letter Kuf enters the Hebrew letters Gimel, which controls the planet Jupiter, which is the cause of the planet Jupiter. It enters the top of our head now, the Gimel. And we're going to go through the same process through the brain and through the eyes and through the nose and the ears and the teeth and the neck and the shoulders, around the heart and around the right, down the right arm, down the left arm, to the fingers, all illuminated with the light of the Gimel. Down through the right leg and the left leg into the bottom torso and into the feet. It's totally, you're totally filled with the light of the Gimel. And as we push the Gimel back to its source, the ball of white light above our heads, it goes right up there into that light. And now we're going to take these two letters together, the Hebrew letter Kuf and the Hebrew letter Gimel. And we're going to see these two letters right before our eyes, white on black, instead of black on white as it is in your paper. White on black. They're right in front of you, in three dimensions, emanating white light. Now I want you to use these letters to connect to the positive attributes of this month, which has the ability to be joyous, because this is a month of joy. This is the month when Purim, the holiday of Purim, is celebrated. This is the holiday Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Spesimcha. When Pisces arrives, joy is increased. And you can see responsibility in your job, in your business, in your family, in your relationships, in the world. Responsibility towards others. But you see this responsibility as a joyous responsibility. And we want to eliminate, through the power of the letters Kuf and Gimel, the negative attributes of Jupiter, of being too expansive, and of Pisces, of being non-confrontational. Because that connects us to physicality and materiality. It focuses on illusion and on matter. We want to see one place in our life where we will focus on physicality rather than a spiritual essence, but one with joy, so that you bring the spirituality into the physicality. We want to use the energy of the Hebrew letters to eliminate negativity. And as we continue to see these letters, we go now to the level of Tiferet, or Tiferet, and we say together, Na Gibor Dorshe Yechudcha Kvavat Shamreim. And we stop at this point to connect to the energy of Tuesday, which is the same form of energy as existed from the time of creation, which represents centrality, the desire to receive for the purpose of sharing, the energy of balance, the power of restriction. We want to inject all this energy into our day, into our physical life, for our actions during Tuesday. And now we go to the next emanation of Netzach, right column, and we say, Barchem Tahareim Rachameim Tzidkatcha Tamid Gamleim. Then we go to left column, Hod. Chasin Kadosh Barov Tufcha Hanahil Adatecha. We go to central column, Yesod.